for curb appeal that lasts, shop Labor Day Extra Big Deals at Lowe's. For a limited time, get 50% off all Holland pavers. Plus, save $110 on the Ego Power Plus 56-volt, 2.5-amp-hour blower trimmer combo kit. Now just $249. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's. In-store and online. Valid through 9/7. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Holland pavers offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Diamond Play of the Week, presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
Swing and a miss, ball gets away. That's 3,000 strikeouts, and Calhoun's going to reach. Verlander reaches 3,000 strikeouts, and Calhoun reaches on a ball in the dirt. 18th pitcher ever to get to 3,000 strikeouts.
That is not how I envisioned it happening, but congratulations to Justin Verlander on number 3,000. The 18th pitcher in history to achieve that mark.
This Diamond Play of the Week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South at Clear Lake.
What a play!
The Astros are sitting here with, 300 strikeout guys, 3,000 strikeout guys, and the Rangers are celebrating when players intentionally let foul balls drop that would have been outs just so Mike Minor can get to 200 strikeouts in a year.
That was pitiful.
Pitiful, Rangers. Par for the course.
That's just the Rangers being the
par Rangers. For the course, Rangers. Look what we did. We got 200 strikeouts. Oh, yeah, 3,000.
Yeah. Look, we got 200. We got two with 300.
We had 200 or 300 dummies.
Do you know Mike Minor, though, has a higher war than Verlander?
Delete. I'm not even going to listen to
him. The war is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
That's not typically, but why would he have a higher war? Are you sure?
Yeah. He's 7.8 and Verlander 7.7.
How is that? I need to know how war.
He's got the biggest war, the highest war of any pitcher in the league.
As a numbers,
beat it.
As a numbers guy, I've never been a big fan
because
of
because he got 200 strikeouts. That's why. Thanks to telling, he's screaming at the first baseman, "Don't catch it! Don't catch it!"
What an embarrassing display by the Rangers.
It is.
Who's got the highest WAR here at the station?
Me,
Fred.
Me.
He has a million click entity in.
Well, that's
Sports Map.
That's a different entity
and a top rated show.
I'm talking Fred. About the station. Forget about Sports Map.
Why you can't forget about Sports Map?
I do every day. Actually,
what a stupid thing you're saying.
That's terrible.
Don't tell me what I can and can't
I love
forget.
Gels laugh when he's impressed with himself. Like
I'm laughing at John's reaction, not what I said.
That's the worst. 713-780-3776. So all right, just quickly, big ups to the Cougs. Okay, took so much crap all week, tanking. You're going to be terrible. All this BS. And they went there and they played pretty damn well. Now the quarterback was really good for he drove them down the field and they scored on their first three possessions, two touchdowns and then a field goal. And then I don't know, he threw for 124 yards. Okay, he was like 12 of 16 for 224 yards. Whatever. What was it? What was numbers?
16
though?
To 20, 124
16 to 20,
yards.
Yeah,
I think didn't he also have like 90 yards rushing?
Yeah,
or so?
Yeah. He ran. He runs. By the way, you're gonna lose. This kid can run too. This guy can run.
Have you seen him? He can't run.
I don't know if you saw a white guy yesterday on the field, Dell.
See, that's
white guy can run.
Where? See, I'm just saying.
His name's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. I thought you meant somebody got out of the stands and security couldn't get him.
No. You know who couldn't get him? Was McCaffrey the best player on the field, and it wasn't even close?
Yes, 37 touches, the highest in his career against the Texans.
Well, guess what? I would have given it to him even more. What the hell? They couldn't tackle that dude.
Andre Ware did get loose with a little hyperbole on the radio yesterday. They were talking about him. Johnny Harris said, if you look at him, he said, Johnny said, he's the shortest, smallest running back I've ever seen. You wouldn't expect him to be a running back if you just saw him just in person. Mm-hmm. You just wouldn't think this. He said, and yet he's running through tackles. No, Dell, not just skin. color. If he said he's running through tackles.
If you looked at him, you wouldn't think running back.
Actually, no, you wouldn't. A lot of running backs look like that. But no, but he said he's breaking nice tackles. And they showed, and Andre goes, you know, he's not the fastest guy. He's got pretty good speed. He's not the fastest guy, but he converts speed to power maybe better than anyone that's ever played the game. I'm like,
Well,
he is not the most explosive speed to power running. Like, that's not even remotely close for Christian McCaffrey.
Andre just assumed you guys knew who he was talking about. He meant white running backs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, if we're going to do that.
Rex Burkhead, some Larry Zonka,
Jim Kick.
Some Jim Kick.
Jim Kick.
Some, what's the
We got to go back to Jim Kick.
No, you got Peyton
Touchdown, Tommy Vardell. Peyton Hillis.
Yeah.
Mike Allstott. Yeah.
Allstott.
Now, Mike Allstott was powerful, but not speed.
So that's what he just assumed you guys knew what he was talking about.
Okay, and
let me give Clayton Tune a little bit more credit. It was 9 carries, 100 yards. So he put up the 100-yard day running the football. So Andre knew what he was talking about. He just thought you guys were working on that galaxy brain level. He thought you knew what he was talking about. Obviously, he wasn't talking about all running backs.
Obviously.
No, 806. ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Let's get David in here. David wants to talk about his Texans. What do you say, David?
Yo, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
What's up, David?
Man, okay, first of all, the caller, a couple guys go about it was on Deshaun.
Yeah.
It's not on Deshaun. It's on the play caller. Look what Minshew did in Jacksonville. He dink and dunk. Look what the guy yesterday did, Kyle Allen, dink and dunk. You got to call plays for your quarterback you got to put your players in position to succeed, right? Why are you trying to emulate some spread offense, making Deshaun drop back for 3-4 seconds, and we don't have that time?
But who makes that?
I don't agree with that at all.
But who makes
First of
him
all, that's all
the
they
ball.
Did was dink and dunk, and then they had a couple of chances deep. And by the way, they had good chances deep, and Deshaun missed them. And that's all they did all day was dink and dunk. Well, I don't understand what you're talking about.
No, I agree with that. I'm saying in the times when it mattered the most, like at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Or second half. Why are we still trying to put Deshaun, like at the end of the game, why is Deshaun dropping back trying to throw a 20-yard pass and comes up with a sack?
Ask him. I don't know. There was, but the tight end peeled off into the flat. It was right there when the edge rush, when they blitzed off the edge. Deshaun looked, and then he kind of panicked. He looked left for an escape route instead of throwing right to the tight end. Like, that is Deshaun. That is the play. When you get rushed, you don't have to drop back and do that stuff. Like, some of that is on Deshaun. I don't know why he's looking downfield at 20 yards. He even said, they're playing cover four. Well, if they're playing cover four, you're going to have other progressions that are short. Not everything is going to be intermediate to deep.
No.
You have different progressions of the routes to read. You have different layering of the route combinations. And a lot of that is on Deshaun, actually, because it's deciding, okay, what's the coverage? All right, then this is going to be my best throw. Are they in zone? This is going to be my best throw. Are they in man? This is going to be my best throw. You know, where I have a problem with Bill O'Brien is, if this is what you're calling for, David, and this is fine if this is what you're calling for, Bill O'Brien's going to have to take certain things away from Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun can't, and this is where, and I'm fine if this is what you're saying too, if you say Bill O'Brien's got to do a better job, then Bill O'Brien needs to treat it like Ben Roethlisberger, the OC from the – Todd Haley. When Todd Haley got to Pittsburgh, it was a major issue with Ben Roethlisberger hanging on the football. And I don't know if any of you followed this saga, but Todd Haley, who's a bit of an a-hole, and Ben Roethlisberger, who can be a bit of an a-hole, Haley just came in and said, we're building in quick throws for you. You are going to get the ball out. And he's like, I can't get in rhythm. This is no good. And Todd Haley goes, I don't care. You're throwing quick. And we're building a quick throwing game, and I'm going to force you to get rid of the ball quickly. And Ben bucked against it, and it didn't matter. Todd Haley did not back up, and he forced Ben into quick throws. The guy who held on the ball longer than anybody I've ever seen in NFL history. And he basically play-called his way into quick passing games. To me, Deshaun needs a quick passing game. Once he's in quick passing game, he gets into a rhythm. Once you get Deshaun into a rhythm, then the intermediate stuff can open up as well. I think Deshaun is in need of short passing, quick passing game, similar to what Tom Brady had. And I think Bill O'Brien wants to do that, but Deshaun at times wants to find big plays because he has done it in the past, and he will keep doing it where he does hit those big plays. If you're Bill O'Brien, you say, Deshaun, we're going to take these throws. We're going to limit you to this side of the field and this many options, if that's what it takes, until we build up the quick passing game. And once you get the quick passing game, then we'll move forward. But I think maybe they put too much on his plate now. I wonder if Bill O'Brien, who classically is known for having a complicated offense, if maybe he's asking too much of Deshaun Watson. Maybe Deshaun Watson is better when you simplify some. Maybe Gardner Minshew's offense is simplified in Jacksonville. And if that's the issue, that's fine. There have been lots of quarterbacks who have been successful with a simplified offense. They had to simplify. I remember hearing a story about how Carson Palmer was just not great at recognizing defenses. And so what the Cincinnati Bengals did is they said, we're going to take you to half field reads, and we're going to give you two progressions, and you're going to read your two progressions, and we might give you a third. And they basically simplified for Carson Palmer, and he took off when they did that. Sometimes this complicated stuff is stupid. Sometimes the best offense is a simple Gary Kubiak's offense is a simple offense. It's done with multiple personnel packages, multiple looks, but it's the same plays being run over and over with just a few different route combinations. And guess what? It's been very, very effective over the years. And it can be, to me, I would have a quick passing game and a play-action-based run game for Deshaun. I would blend the two offenses if you could, and that's what I would do. Kubiak would have been great with Deshaun. He would have been great. I'm getting pissed off the more I think about this. I mean, some of this is on Deshaun. Once again, it's impossible to say, oh, well, Deshaun is being made to sit and hold the ball forever because that's what the routes are. That's not what's happening. Deshaun told you yesterday in a postgame, if you haven't heard, he goes, I'm hanging on to it.
Actually, I thought it was, man, can you try something down? I understand cover. I get it. But you've got to take. And they did. They finally took a couple of shots, and they worked.
Where were the tight ends?
And they worked. Oh, my God.
Where were the tight ends?
I don't want to talk about it.
You have a sports talk show.
You had.
Del, can you tell them the definition of the a sports game, talk show? You have to talk about
the game things. Before. It's like, okay, Darren Fells touchdown, Akins touchdown. It's getting the tight ends the ball, and then this week, nothing. Not even looking at them. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, it's just so from week to week to be so good and so piss poor.
It is elite football and bad football. Staggered right now, and one's on the road and one's at home.
You remember when Bill O'Brien first got the job, he said we would implement game plans on a week-to-week basis. We won't be the same every week. And you know what it is?
Yep.
We will be good 1 week and crappy the next week. That's the game plans he's implementing.
By the way, that idea is great when you have Tom Brady and the Patriots where you're going to do, and you know, you've had a system that's been in place that's worked forever, and the Patriots can do that. I think Bill O'Brien needs to start to really hone in on, no, we're going to do what we do effectively. Maybe more of the Gary Kubiak method of let's do what we do and let's really get good at what we do instead of let's make the other team uncomfortable because that ain't working. We're going to do things offensively where they don't even know what's coming. Well, it doesn't look like you guys know what's
coming. Neither does your team. 813 ESPN 975-713-780-3776.
Thanks for the call, Kev.
Yeah, we appreciate it. That was, this is Kev. Kev's going to be up next right here on ESPN 975.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
When will Odell implode? How long is it going to take?
It's a good win for them.
It was a great win for them. And what did Odell do?
Two catches, 20 yards. But they won, 45-20.
I don't care.
I know if Odell starts flipping out.
Odell is going to flip out. About Jarvis had a huge game.
That was a good win. How about Baker?
Ricky Seals-Jones had a big game.
He did. I've been thinking about this. So Antonio Brown got into it with Baker Mayfield over the at the end of last week. And Antonio said, Lamar Jackson should have been drafted ahead of you, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, oh, man, Lamar, I wonder how Baker is going to play head-to-head against Lamar, this is going to be interesting. And Baker outplayed him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Baker ended up having a pretty good game. Actually, Baker had a very good game. That was a big win for them. But NFL football has been turned completely upside down. You have the Eagles stealing a game late. You have the Texans losing, the Colts losing, Jacksonville winning late, Titans winning, and slapping Atlanta. I don't know what to think of this division.
By the way, the Browns, with all the criticism, are in first place. They're tied for first with the Ravens.
2-2?
2-2.
The whole league. And
right? The Ravens are...
And the Steelers can go 2-2.
Yeah, the Ravens lost to Kansas City.
No,
yeah.
The Steelers go 1-3.
Oh, the Steelers haven't won yet.
Yeah, they haven't won yet. But with the Brown, one of the two, the Bengals or the Steelers are going to be 1-3. So the Browns are leading the division.
KC keeps rolling
after all of the crap.
KC
and by the way,
rolling.
A tough schedule to start, and it's not getting any easier. But they went in there and played
give it
well.
I got to give it to the Raiders.
Yeah,
Raiders came up. That was a good win. In
I want to say something.
They took care of Indy start to finish.
I want to tell you something. The Lions have a good football team.
That Matt Patricia's done a nice job.
He has done a really
nice
job. That's
a
tough team.
They're a much tougher out than I expected.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Kansas City went in there and could have easily lost that football game. They played them tough. That's a good – the Lions – I'm going to tell you this. That division is the best in football.
Yeah. Now the
NFC
the
Chargers – No,
oh.
The NFC North. The Packers are really good. The Bears are good.
Bears aren't good on offense at all.
The Bears' defense makes up for it.
The Bears have a great defense and a terrible offense. Right now, you know what the Bears feel like? They feel like the Ravens back in the day. They won a Super Bowl, rather.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Were they better
with
Chase?
Lions are the best fourth team in any division.
But they're the third team.
They're the third team.
That's true. The Vikings are the best fourth team in any division.
Yeah.
Except Kirk Cousins when he plays
anyone with a winning record. That was easy money yesterday.
Forget about it.
Easy money yesterday.
Kirk Cousins.
He can't play against a winning team. He just can't. And the under was a win. My brother texted me. It was raining hard there. And I was like, oh, under. Thanks for the info.
You could have said Trubisky versus Cousins and taken the under. You didn't need the weather.
Trubisky is, you know what? Trubisky might win the MVP this year.
You know he's good. What?
Yeah.
You know he's going to be out for quite a bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, I mean, and oh, by the way, Chase Daniel didn't look bad.
Chase Daniel looked exactly like
Chase Daniel.
Yeah, Case Keenum, Chase Daniel, whatever.
Same thing.
It's the same thing.
Kevin, let's get him in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Kevin?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, how you doing?
Hey, man. Can't complain.
Oh, wait. Is this Red or
Kevin?
What's up? What's up, baby?
What's up?
We didn't know that was you.
Yeah.
I told her that when she asked.
She just said Kevin,
she
not Red
know,
Raider.
She didn't know who you
she
are.
She's not buying into she the know. Fan name stuff.
That man played it, Red. That man
Victoria,
played at Texas
she ain't
Tech.
Playing that game.
That man played at Texas Tech. Go ahead, Kev.
Go.
What's the problem, man?
What's the problem, Dell?
Yeah, Dell.
It's not about
no,
me.
Look,
it's about the phone screener.
Okay.
All right. Why are you hating, Dell?
What's up, Kev?
Now, here's my problem, man, and maybe I misinterpreted what dude was trying to say that called earlier, but to call in, and you guys have great patience, because to call in, man, and make an idiotic statement like it's not on Deshaun, like I hang up the phone at that point. Go, dude, you got to go.
Yeah,
when your quarterback sits in the pocket like a black Drew Bledsoe and hold the ball forever, how is it not on him? Man, I saw Tunsil running guys up the field 15 yards, coming back in the back door, making a sack. Like, and I looked at
hold
Lambie
on,
crazy,
hold up, hold
like,
up.
What the hell are you
hold
doing?
Hold up, Kev.
Was that in your NFL profile?
My NFL profile did not say black Drew Bledsoe. That was not something I thought I'd ever hear on Deshaun.
I'm just saying, man, the dude standing in the pocket like a statue.
Yeah.
Like, yesterday was on him.
It was definitely on him.
100%.
He missed throws he should have hit.
But he held on to it for an eternity.
I can't even find it in my soul. As much as I think O'Brien needs to go, I can't find it in my soul to blame O'Brien for yesterday when I see guys coming open underneath, streaking across the field, and he's not throwing the football.
Just dump it to the crossing route and go.
Now, listen, though, we've talked about this before, though. He's just like Lamar Jackson, you know, you got big play capability. He's got big play capability, but he's got to make those big plays. He is going to make mistakes. He's not reading his, whatever he's doing. He still could have won that football game by making a play, and he didn't. He could have won that football game.
Yeah, but those are separate discussions.
But, John, that's the problem. John, that's the problem. We see this guy make those great moves, escaping the pocket, and we think about that and rely on that as fans. But as a coach, I'm sure that drives the staff crazy when this guy isn't reading his progressions. And what I look at, what you do against bad football teams and have success as fans, they get excited about that type of stuff when that ain't going to float with a good football team. And yesterday was a very good athletic defensive football team, and the stuff that Deshaun normally is able to get away with, he couldn't get away with against a good defensive football team that is just as athletic at the linebacker spot.
I will say this, though, and again, I said this before the game. If you look at Carolina's defense, they have made every quarterback they've played this year look really, really bad. It's what they do. Whatever Ron Rivera is doing over there defensively, I mean, that could be the best defensive mind right now in the game.
Ron Rivera. You think?
He doesn't have the Bears' talent. The Bears are just an attack hungry, just come after you like mad dogs. This defense is a lot more sophisticated and impossible so far for any quarterback to have any success with. And listen, Kyle Allen is no great shakes. Kyle Allen outplayed Deshaun yesterday. Kyle Allen outplayed him.
He did.
He just flat out outplayed him.
4 of 11 on third down conversions for the Texans. That's not good enough. Kevin is exactly what it should sound like. It can be mutually exclusive. You can think that Bill O'Brien needs to go and that his time is up and that Deshaun Watson has got to do a better job of getting rid of the ball, getting through progressions. It can be, that's what I'm trying to say. It can be both. It doesn't mean just because you admit that about Deshaun doesn't mean you're giving Bill O'Brien a free pass at all. You can still be upset with Bill O'Brien because there's more than one thing going on in games at all times. If you think that the Houston Texans are one head coach away, I don't think it's that simple. And if you think they're one quarterback getting rid of the ball quickly away, I don't think it's that simple. There's more stuff going on.
Let me ask you this question now.
Do you think Bill
O'Brien wanted? We got to go. All right, we got to
break. Thanks, Dell.
Thanks, Dell, for ruining it.
Thanks a lot. John had something that was about to be pretty good.
It wouldn't have been that good.
It would have been good.
Certainly not something that can't wait to the other side.
All right. Well, now how's you, do you have some? What is in your carpets? I bet you have something ugly in your carpets that you just don't even want to talk about.
How do you get hate out of carpets?
Yeah, I don't know that they can. Listen, if you go to oopsteam.com, though, and put in, I need to get this hate out of my carpets, I'm not sure you can.
I don't have hate in my carpet.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you do.
I have lack of care in my carpet.
Well, then you know what? I'd start caring if I were you.
Like if people said, hey, do you hate Lance? Does that fall on your carpet? No, I don't care
can
about Lance.
Can you get apathy out of carpets, John?
Yeah, that's the question you should be asking me.
Can you get apathy out?
Okay, here's the deal.
Ambivalence out of carpets?
You need to make it about me, though, Dell.
They can't get ambivalence out. They can't get apathy. They can't get hate out. But they can get everything else out. If you've got wine stain, urine stain. If you got urine stain, please call right now. All right? If you have urine in your carpets, I need you to call right now because you're gross. 281-822-0561. 281-822-0561 or oopssteam.com. At your upholstery, your carpets, your tile, everything. It doesn't matter. They can clean it. Your drapes, they're gross. Clean them. 281-822-0561 or oopssteam.com. I'm reading this. Okay. Would you take the Astros, Yankees, and Dodgers or the field?
No. You mean the big three?
Yeah.
No, I'd take the big three.
The big three.
Fangraphs
has those three as a 63.9% favorite to win. One of those three will win.
I'd put it a little higher.
What's the matchup that you want to see most in the playoffs? Which matchup?
Well, I mean, from the outside looking in, it'd be rematch of Astros-Dodgers.
That's what one guy says. One guy says, how about Astros-Nationals?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Verlander versus Scherzer, Strasburg versus Cole, Corbin versus Greinke. There will be a total of 6 runs in the whole series.
And then Miley versus the world.
It's not. Miley's done.
Okay.
Urquidy won that job, by the way. It's over.
Greinke's going to do his thing.
How about the way Urquidy pitched the other night?
Yeah. I mean, Urquidy has actually been, other than he had one game I know where he wasn't very good, but other than that, he's actually been solid.
He's been good.
He just doesn't look like, deliver the ball like everyone else.
Well, no one does.
Well, but he's
Greinke doesn't deliver it like those two.
He's a left-hand dink and dunk guy.
And Greinke's like he's a Hall of Famer. Well, he's not very good because he doesn't look like Scherzer. He doesn't look like Verlander or Cole. Okay. Yeah, okay, but he's pretty damn good. What is he, 9-1 now with the Astros? 8-1, 9-1?
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? And we're all like, nah, you know, for a third starter, he's okay. Yeah, that would be awesome. And frankly, I wouldn't mind it being the Nationals and Astros. Jordan is scuffling a little bit right now.
One of his last 15 headed into the postseason.
Well, you know what? This nice little break here. He's a rookie. Probably he has played more than he ever has, probably without a doubt, between his minor league and major league stint this year. This is going to be a nice 5 days off for him. He can relax, 4 days. He can relax and take some time off, get his mentally, and then go kick some ass. And then there's Carlos Correa. My God.
What?
Get on the field.
No, he's relaxing. He's resting.
Does he make the first roster?
Yeah, he's good to go. His doctor already said he's good to go.
He said he's probable.
Astros Carlos Correa, doctor says, quote, he's good to go.
Does the doctor feel the twinges in his back?
No, he said he's healthy. He's good to go. Of course he's going to make the roster. Hey, when does that get announced?
What, the roster?
Yeah.
Probably not until after Wednesday when the A's play.
Is it that late?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to make your mind up. I don't think you have to turn anything in until Thursday. So, they'll probably hold it close. The one player that you want to see, who will break out this postseason? Because Bregman's already broken out. He's not a breakout guy.
Who's a breakout player?
Jeff Passan says Jordan. Schoenfield says Ronald Acuna. He's pretty good.
Yeah, Acuna's really good.
Really good.
So we can't call Brantley a breakout player, can we?
No.
I mean, he's a veteran.
Yeah.
A big-time veteran. But, I mean, in terms of being considered a high-end player, if he gets on one of his tears.
How many All-Star appearances has he had?
Brantley? Not a ton, I don't think, has he?
I would imagine he's been on a couple of All-Stars. Yeah, I would imagine. I don't know. I don't remember.
Here, I'll look it up right now.
Yeah. How many All-Star?
I'll make the over-under 2.5.
That's not an All-Star. That's not a breakout player.
And
a 10-year veteran that's got a couple.
But a breakout to be an elite company.
It would be great if he hit a double.
Okay, so right now, he would be breakout because he's not the same Brantley he
was.
Well,
no.
What about breakout like that?
Well, that would be awesome if he turned his season back around, because he has been really bad.
Over under, I haven't looked at All-Star appearances, 2.5.
And I got under. I think I'm going to go 2.
Four.
I'm
going to
go 2.
4.
4? Mm-hmm. 4 appearances.
14, 17, 18, 19, 3 straight years.
Mm. No, he's a good player. That's not a breakout player.
You know what? He's never gone 5. He's never won an MVP or been a 5-time All-Star.
So
just waiting for him to break out.
Okay. All right. A World Series. Has he been a World Series MVP yet?
No.
Okay. Then maybe that is a breakout.
Springer broke out.
Gary is here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Gary.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good, man. Gary. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm 62 years old, born and raised in Buffalo. And, hey, it's been a rough 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I always take my vacation during Patriots Week. Hey, I got a question for you. And this is not just because the Bills, it was the Bills game. But I'm sure you guys saw the hit on Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I look at it as a two-banger. He just didn't get rocked by the helmet. His head bounced off the turf, too, okay? So my mindset, I'm not going to see him for a couple of weeks. Is it looked bad. My question to you guys is this Al Riveron, I guess, did he take Dean Blandino's spot on Sundays making certain calls for ejections and stuff like that?
I don't know what that is because I heard his name. I mean, he was mentioned by Freddie Kitchens, too, because I'm talking to Al Riveron. I think, yeah, Blandino, when he was at league office, you're talking about, yeah, that's got to be Al Riveron now who has that job. That's got to be why I keep hearing his name in terms of why ejections. He's got to be the guy that's looking at that for the league.
Right. Okay, my question to you is, and just my opinion, I thought the guy should have been thrown out. Well, he wasn't. They got the unsportsmanlike conduct. I get that. But my question to you is, his comeback was, it didn't meet the criteria for an ejection. Hey, I'm just going to – I don't know if you guys know the criteria, but, man, I couldn't see anything worse. But anyway, I love your show. I don't get to listen to watch because I work. But, hey, keep up the good work. And, hey, if you guys know the criteria, I'll hang up and listen. And then you guys have a good day.
I will look it up. So your defense is good. Buffalo's got a shot to turn into a team. Like, this is – if Josh Allen can keep getting better as a quarterback, which I don't know if it's a given that he's going to get a lot better. If he's still alive. Man, their defense is legit. The Patriots couldn't do anything.
I don't know. Since he was a runner, he didn't get down. He had a guy on his back, and then the defender came up and went helmet to helmet on him and actually was used. I mean, I don't know if he bowed his neck. Not sure, or he. I think he bowed his neck. Only they did collide helmet to helmet. There has not been a call this year on a runner, or last year either, on a runner where helmet to helmet has meant an ejection.
It's not going
to
be.
Now, if it's a defenseless receiver, yes, I think that's probably the criteria.
It's defenseless player. Criteria.
Well. Quite frankly, he was a defenseless player since there was a guy on his back and tackling him, and he had nowhere to go, and they went helmet to helmet.
Would it have been called for a running back? Never.
No. But they were supposed to.
Yeah, but...
Now, the rule says you were supposed to.
But they realized that it wasn't going to be...
It's not going to happen.
They have to call them.
And even the runner, if he lowers his head and uses his helmet, the crown of his helmet.
Now, Rogers is the only guy I saw get called for that.
Did he use the forehead of his helmet, or did he use the crown? That's a question. So maybe that's it. The thing is, just because it's a quarterback... and he went helmet to helmet, doesn't make it ejectable. Because you're right. If he was a running back, he would not have been ejected.
Never. The only reason they put that in is so that, well, they put it in for head issues, but we know that they referee quarterbacks differently.
Yep.
So I could see somebody saying, whoa, we got to take care of that quarterback. But
he was a runner.
That's a slippery slope. I don't think they want to open that up.
No.
If you start every time there's any helmet-to-helmet contact on a quarterback who's running, because let's face it, there are more quarterbacks who run now than ever before. And I mean, even if it's scrambling to extend plays, you know, or guys who are not extending plays, but who void the pocket, there's more of that going on than ever before. You start calling for one guy, then you better be throwing flags all over the place.
By the way, Al Riveron, Mike Florio said, is now the most powerful person in all of football. He is the senior VP of officiating.
That was Blandino, I think.
That was Blandino. And by the way, we didn't talk about it on Friday, but could it have been more blatant pass interference on the Eagles against the Packers that wasn't called when reviewed? I mean, it could not have been more blatant. He hit him with his body. He pulled down his arm before the ball got there, and they wouldn't reverse it. I don't know what you could possibly... how you could possibly not say that was pass interference, and yet they won't reverse. You got to have a hit like the Rams-Saints hit. Otherwise, you and it was that was close. That was close. Did you see? You know what I'm talking about? Did you see the play?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That was how can you not say that that was pass interference? And yet the refs, they are refusing to overturn interference.
In games, they do not want to. They're only going to do it.
It doesn't matter what it is.
I honestly think that this is a situation where they do not want to turn it into referees' calls being usurped constantly by pass interference. Because they don't want to. Okay, so it has to be clear and obvious. They've been making a big, big point of clear and obvious, clear and obvious. You know what clear and obvious is? Where there's absolutely no doubt. Nobody can possibly answer. This isn't like the legal system where it's reasonable doubt. This has to be, holy crap, this is a bad miss. And that's the only time they're overturning this for bad, bad misses.
This was a horrible miss. This was and it was
at the end of a game.
Obvious. It was obvious that it was interference.
I thought it was, and it wasn't made a big deal of on the broadcast.
It wasn't made a big deal of it at all.
They're like, okay, nothing. And I thought...
Well, it was a bang-bang. I thought it was a bang-bang play because of the nature of the throw.
But when they slowed it down, it was clear. Body contact.
Yeah, slowing it down, I mean...
No, slowing it... I don't care slowing it down. It wasn't about slowing it down.
Was it like the Saints?
It was clear.
Was it like the Saints?
He grabbed his arm and hit him.
He grabbed his arm and hit him. I mean, it could not be more obvious. When you see the side angle of it, it could not have been more obvious. I mean, and they don't call it, and they just refuse. And this is a pushback by the refs. This is clearly a pushback by the refs.
But who makes that determination? Is it the head?
Where does DeAndre Hopkins?
What is that, Dell? You were just on the air with that.
Oh, I was getting sound ready for the recap.
Oh, we need to pull Texans Bill. By the way, did you see? Did you see Texans Bill?
All right.
I'll tell you what. Well, Texans Bill had his own press conference in his car and after it, and he was pretty ticked. He wasn't going to watch it because Dish Network didn't have Fox, and then he ended up going to Buffalo Wild Wings and watching it, and Texans Bill was really
we'll do
ticked
that.
Off.
We'll do that on
I'll
the
get
other
that
side.
To Dell.
I want to talk
we got to clean it up a little bit.
I want to talk right now about Doc Linville. Doc Linville is awesome. If you're someone who's follically challenged like I am, like I was, it is going to be awesome. And people ask me, how's the hair? You know, I moved it from the back. Easily done. It's grafts. It's not what – they don't have to cut you. Like they used to have to cut that line and then they put it in. It's grafts. And it cannot be an easier process. It took about 4 hours. I was done. I did it on Friday, working on Monday. It can't be an easier process, guys. If you've been thinking about this, somebody called me and said, "Hey, was that the did you was it real? Do you really believe in it?" I absolutely believe in it. We're about February, maybe January, February. I'm going to see the full results of it, and I can't wait. And you can see already that the hairs are coming in. It's awesome. If you are looking to just go talk to them because it's a free consultation. It's normally $150 just to consult. It's a free consultation for 97.5 listeners. 975hair.com, 975hair.com. Do it.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 848 ESPN 97.5 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. Actually, it's 849. That clock's behind, Dell. You got to fix it again. Okay. Do something around here. That would be totally sweet. Snoop Dogg and the I Wanna Thank Me Tour coming to Houston House of Blues on Monday, December 16th at exactly 9 o'clock. Caller number 9, 713-780-3776, wins a pair of tickets to see one of the most influential rap artists of all time. Tickets for Snoop Dogg are on sale now at LiveNation.com. If you want to get stoned, this is the place to be.
Drunk Bevo asked this question. The question is, Watson being developed, is he a way better quarterback today than when he was drafted? I do believe the offensive guru quarterback whisper narrative is dead and buried. What is actually Supreme Leader Bill? That's what he calls him. Elite coaching skill.
He is Supreme Leader.
So, I don't know that he is substantially better. I can't tell
I don't
you
think
areas
he,
where he is.
You may be onto something. It's too much on his plate. As opposed, Deshaun is so athletic. Deshaun has a great arm. Deshaun can make all the throws. He can do everything. It just seems like Deshaun at times is frozen. He drops back. He looks. It's opposed to just making natural plays. He's frozen.
You know, he is dropping his eyes a little. When he feels pressure.
But after last week, when it was so good, why the hell is that happening this week?
Yeah, but...
He was getting
rid of it quick. There's a difference between when the bullets... You know, I saw Minshew really handle his pocket mobility.
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's great in a pocket.
And Deshaun, if he would just like... There was a chance where Titus Howard was running his guy up the field. It literally required an up and to the right, small slide, and he would have been fine. Instead, it turned into a panic. And when that happens, it's hard to get out.
Okay, but it can't be both. Because last week, we saw Deshaun at his best since his rookie year when on that six-game run. We saw him play that way. Hitting hot reads, not holding on to the ball way too long, throwing the ball down the field, using his tight ends, and making athletic plays. So we can't say this week, well, now he's not developed. Because he was just last week.
Yeah, no. And that's what makes this so this is what's so confounding. You talked about this. Somebody on Twitter said this. You have callers who, when Deshaun plays well, Deshaun's great. When he plays poorly, O'Brien's the problem. And I'm in agreement with that. You have to be consistent with how you look at it. If one guy's going to get the blame when a guy's playing poorly, then that guy has to get some credit when a guy plays well. I've never seen it like this. I've never seen this drastic, fantastic against the Saints. Really stinky against Jacksonville. Fantastic against the Chargers. Really stinky yesterday. I'm just not used to see, you know, when it's elite play at quarterback and bottom third play at quarterback two games, which happen to be home games. I don't know if that matters. That can't all be on the head coach.
No.
It can't all be on the head coach. Now, it doesn't mean the head coach gets a pass on the other stuff he does, but something's going on. And the argument's going to be, well, if that's happening, it's up to the head coach to create more consistency. Maybe so. Maybe it's. I can tell you where the buck stops. The buck is going to always stop with the head coach.
He can't. But he can't make Deshaun throw the ball.
I know. And Red Redder Kevin, who played college ball, was talking about that too. You can't hold it for that long and say
on the head coach. It can't be.
I mean, you can't take those losses. Dump it and go. Dump it and move on to the next play. Dude, there's an
take
old
what
saying.
They give you.
There's an old saying in gambling. The trumpet plays every day, meaning. Dun, 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 dun. There's a race. There's something to bet on every day, right? There's a game going every day. By the same token, there's a play. There's always the next play. Yeah. Just move to the next play and understand the next play is just as important as this play.
And he said it and he understood it. They're in cover four. So, you know what? He understands. I got to take what they give me. And that's a bunch of quick throws. And you know what?
He said it.
And yes.
Deshaun said it.
If you, why is this any. Listen, if you matriculate down the field, Brady, just take what they give you. Peyton Manning, it was nothing sensational. A lot of quick throws. I'm going to take what you give me. Touchdown. And we move down the field and we score a touchdown. Unless we give D-Hop the ball to throw again. Then we're not going to score a touchdown.
I don't want to hear that anymore.
Then we're not going to score any touchdowns. Okay. So let's take what they give you, and if it's dink and dunk, and move down the field and use that as your running game, if you can't run the football on them, then that's fine. Then just do that. Deshaun, let's do that then, instead of holding on to the ball and trying to make a big freaking play all the time. I mean, I don't understand how you can look so good last week. No, you're right. And some of it may be home. What the hell? He's looked great in New Orleans. He looked great in L.A., and he's looked like crap here.
I don't know why.
I don't get it. Maybe it's those two defenses versus the other defenses he played. Yeah, and poker. Deshaun, sometimes you have to fold. Play the next hand. That's all. We'll go get them next time. Go get them next time. 713-780-3776. By the way, right at 9 o'clock, you've got your deal going on. So you got to call in if you want Snoop Dogg, if you want to get stoned at the House of Blues. You can do that. All right, let's break. Raheels joins us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.